When we were discussing building this church, it was back around 2007, I believe, and we were going through a lot of checkpoints along the way as to what we'd like to have here. And so one of the discussions led around to, were we going to have flags? I encouraged that. I said, if we're going to have flags, let's have three flags. Let's have a U.S. flag, a state flag, and then a third flag for certain uses at certain times, which primarily has been used for the military branches. And then that led to the discussion of having a walk of honor, some way to recognize those who have been members of Grace Doctrine Church in its almost 40-year history, and that their names would be somehow recognized in what we would call a walk of honor. And this would be associated with the flag island that is out front. And so we ultimately were able to get up the money to do that. We have all five branches of the service there. And when we discover someone that has served in the United States Armed Forces, we'd like to add their name to that. We haven't had anyone to add in the last couple of years, but we've got two people this time. And the first one in alphabetical order, I wish he would come up and receive this. It's Clay Johansson. And Clay Johansson, I just discovered from talking with him, is a native of New Hampshire. And somehow he made his way elsewhere. I think you've lived in Florida. You lived in South Carolina. Mm-hmm. And now Missouri and probably other places. Yes. How long did you serve in the Army?
I served in the military 3 years, 1973 through 76. And spent most of my time in Germany.
So, really?
Yeah.
And you had 3 years of that?
Yes, I did. It was a gorgeous country.
Good beer, too.
Well,
there's that. The dark beer.
Yes.
Yeah, I do. That is a good-tasting beer, dark beer. And you had a lot of that.
12 pounds worth.
12 pounds.
Yes.
Well, you got out, and then you went into some kind of private enterprise. I know that you're with Hunter now. Mm-hmm. Have you always been with them?
I have since 1987, and that was the first year I came to this church. And I always realized that the church was here and was very blessed to be able to come back and be honored to be part of this church and to be a member of this church, which I really sincerely am grateful. My wife is also. So,
well, we happen to have you and Nancy with us.
Thank you.
This is what's called a paver.
Mm-hmm.
It's got your name on there, Clay W. Johansson. That's Johansson.
Johansson.
Yes. He's a Scandinavian type.
Yeah.
Yes. And we are going to let you have this for the moment, but you'll give it back when service is over, because Steidel Lawn Services manages this for us. Mm-hmm. And sometime next week, they'll come and implant this in the Army sector of our Walk of Honor.
Thank you.
We thank you for your service to the country.
Thank you very much.
And proud to have you and Nancy as members of Grace Doctrine Church.
You.
Thank you so much.
I'd just like to say one thing, that it also is our honor to be underneath the teaching of a most dedicated man for all these years. The guy is really strong in a study-teach routine, and I think that he deserves a lot of credit himself. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Did you get it? Well, good. The second recipient is Jennifer Leishheit. She decided to join the United States Navy. And it was about a year or so ago that Doug and his family came to this church. That's Doug Leishheit, the father. And she decided to go into the United States Navy. She did all of the preliminary work, went up to a little place north of Chicago to get informed, and then now is a full-fledged member of the United States Navy. Now, obviously, she can't be here today, but we want to add her name to the Walk of Honor in the Navy Division. And her father, Doug, is here today, and he'll come forward to take her paver. Doug Leishheit. Doug, we are... He's dressed in Navy.
The best I can.
Yeah. Well, look, your daughter has this paver here. Did you serve in the armed services?
No, sir.
Well, you've got a nice shirt to commemorate your daughter.
It was a gift, yes.
Did she give it to you?
Yes.
It fits nicely.
I've got three shirts on today.
Where is she right now?
She is underway somewhere, I presume, in the Pacific. She will be back. That's what she calls it when they're at sea. I call it at sea. She calls it we're underway. So the last time I saw her was in video on YouTube. I often search under USS America and Navy, and I caught a glimpse of a tour that was being given for Fleet Week in L.A., and the second part of it, there was just a few seconds, but I saw her giving demonstrations of fire equipment. So I asked her about that, and she said, where? She didn't remember. And I said, well, it was on this one and this video right here. And she went and watched it. She says, yes, I was giving tours to civilians. Like, I'm a lower form of life or something. So that's the last time I saw her. But she's supposed to be home for Christmas.
Well, the civilians do pay her bills. Yes. So that's good.
And I told her I approved of her new boss.
Oh, did you? Well, he's not actually the boss yet.
I know.
Things could happen.
Yeah.
So, nevertheless, we have this paper here. It says Jennifer Lee Scheidt. And by the way, it took a while, maybe 6-8 months, we learned how to pronounce your name. Yeah. If you have a dog on a leash, and you hold him up high, leash height.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I got it right.
And Doug kind of works with dog, too, so.
Doug dog. Here's the paper that you're to hold for maybe the next 45 minutes.
Okay.
You're going to give it back because Ron Steidel will install it someday next week, hopefully early, in the Navy Division. Do you know Ron Steidel? No, you should not know him.
Okay.
He's the guy that's going to put it in the Walk of Honor.
Okay.
So you get to keep that for about 45 minutes.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank your daughter for her service.
Yes, and she told me in a recent email that she's proud to be part of this.
Well, we're proud to have her part of GDC. Doug Lee Scheidt, accepting for Jennifer. Now, before I go back and we start a very short session today for James, we've got visitors, and so much has been going on here this morning that I had to organize. I forgot to introduce them. And they come from Michigan, the red state of Michigan. They are blueberry farmers, but their state is red. And so that there are the, I can do this, the Bosnas. And it's Carol and Matt. Did I get that right? Matt's your son. I'm sorry, Mark Bosna. Carol, did I get that right?
Karen.
Okay. Well, people here know I have no memory. So that I was able to do the M word and get Matt in there, but it's Mark. We're glad to have you here from Michigan. I'm glad you came by to visit. They're Doritos, I understand. And so that means you're in western Michigan, I think. Is this the area of Grand Rapids, approximately? Grand Rapids has several publishing companies there that do a lot of research publications for pastors. We call it Grand Rapids, and it's William B. Erdman Publishing Company and a number of others, Zondervan, things like that. So I've got a lot of books on my shelf from West Michigan. We're glad to have you here in St. Louis and at Grace Doctrine Church. You bet. I'm going to go up in the pulpit now, and we'll do an entire Bible class in 10 minutes. I did not prepare for a James study today because I felt like that 17 or 18 pages of our research of the several wars that we have engaged in our 240-year history would fill up the 2 hours, but apparently it didn't, and I chose to go ahead and finish it in the 1 hour rather than have maybe a 10-minute session following. I talked to Paul about this. I was left with the incorrect impression that because we've moved everything up to the cloud, you know, once you do that, the cloud runs the show, and that we were restricted to 1 hour per Bible class. And that's not true. He told me I could go as long as I wanted to. So I guess I could go ahead and done the first session in the first session, and the second session in the first session, and you could all go home now. But we will look at a few things here before we dismiss for the day. And there's a place we can go here that I think will suffice to get us to where we need to be. We're going to get to an expanded translation of James 1:5. And we're really laboring the first five verses of our study. I think that there's some things in the first five verses that introduce some doctrines that have to be understood to then understand where we're going in the rest of the book of James. And the thing that is introduced first off is the concept of happiness. And the word that is used in the English translations is joy. Excuse me. Joy is a word to me, I don't know about you, but just doesn't seem to possess all of the concepts that need to be understood behind the word that's behind it. And kara is that word. And then what we are going to approach after we see what joy is what follows. And in order to have this happiness, the unalloyed happiness, you've got to gain an inventory of ideas in your soul so that you can advance to that level. And so he's going to give us our target at the very beginning, which is unalloyed happiness or the copacetic spiritual life or sharing the happiness of God. They all three mean the same thing. And we had to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 to develop that. And then we come back to James chapter 1 and bring that information with us and expand on the translation in James 1. Now, we've done that. We still have a little bit more to go. There's a lot of redundancy here. But if we can nail this down and everybody gets the vocabulary and understands the mission, that it is a process, and that process requires understanding of a lot of biblical doctrines and a lot of mandates that are given by God through James to us in the course of that advance, then we're better prepared to see what God has us to do. And by him having us to do things, I emphasize the fact that he does it quite often. A tremendous amount of divine guidance is found in Scripture by means of imperative moods. They can be do this or it can be don't do that, but they're positive and negative mandates. And these imperative moods give us guidance on divine thought and pleasure. What does he desire us to do? We learn that and then hope to organize our thoughts in such a way where then we can exercise that mandate in our personal lives. That's a process because we develop behavior patterns and character traits, and we develop a lifestyle from the time we were unbelievers up to the point we were saved. And we think we're leading a straightforward life in an unbeliever status. Then we get saved, and what we know at that point is that when we die, we get to go to heaven. But as far as the thinking of God is concerned, that's nowhere in our vocabulary. It's not in our memory center. It's not in our stream of consciousness. We have no problem-solving devices beyond rebound and the filling of the Holy Spirit. That's the base where you start, and then you advance from there. The reorganization of the soul, which is found in Romans 12, verse 2, the restructuring, the reorganization of the thought process that we need to discover, retain, and apply is an ongoing process. And the understanding of the process is so important. And so as we move through Bible studies, the whole mission of serious Bible study is to help the believer incorporate within his soul a huge inventory of these ideas. And as you then are forced by the plan of God, we see this in verse 2 and 3, as you move through the process of living the Christian way of life, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have tests. You're going to have difficulties. There are going to be people systems, thought processes, disasters, all these kinds of things are a part of living in the devil's world. And they are allowed by God because we are the only ones here that represent Him in the angelic conflict. The dark side runs the show in the devil's world. We've got a lot of media today. You can find out something about every nick and cranny on this earth, and you won't find much good about any of it because it's the devil's world. And we, therefore, we are people who believed in Christ yet left here as witnesses for the prosecution. And if we are witnesses for the prosecution, we have to be good witnesses. And to be a good witness, you have to know facts. And the facts have to be embedded in the soul in a paths of least resistance. It's that inventory you go to first in order to make good decisions from a position of strength. And so when that is true, and you have this momentum going, then you're building that inventory in your soul and you're becoming a good soldier for Christ. So that's what James is all about. I think it's interesting that it is the first book in the New Testament as far as chronology is concerned. There's the debate as to whether it was written between 35 and 45. It makes no difference. It was number one regardless. And so that's where you start. And when you start, you discover there are 59 imperative moods scattered throughout the five chapters. And we've only just begun in chapter one. And we've seen a number of things in an introductory stage. And in that introduction, we're seeing that happiness is the first thing he talks about. Who's happy? Are you happy? Well, if you're not, if there are things that bother you, things that cause you to deviate, get upset, mad, impertinent, whatever you do, it's because you haven't reached the goal yet. I won't ask for hands. No need to. Every hand in the room would go up. We're not eternally, consistently, undeviatingly happy. Things happen. Family. Oh, look at your calendar. Just a few days till those people come wanting to eat your food or you eat theirs. And whatever they serve you is the best you've ever had. Remember that. And there's going to be that member of that family that you're in that's going to show up either at your house or theirs or at some neutral site. They are going to try and run the show. And you used to go to war with those people. Are you still doing that? Are you allowing them to suck you into the dark side? Or are you now saying, I'll take on this battle and I'll use the Word of God to do this? That's just a little small quirk of things that occur from time to time. But where we're going in James is to get you to the point, hopefully, that a lot of those imperative moods, all 59 of them may be chosen, but at least many will be embedded in your path of least resistance, and you will find that you're being a good soldier for Christ. Now, in the process of doing this, we are belaboring the first five verses, and you've noticed that, I'm sure. Well, I'm not through. We still have some things to do, but when we get done, we will be at verse 6, so we made progress. If I were to teach this, and I've decided not to, if I were to teach this today, we would be in our 23rd Bible class. Okay. By the end of the week, we will have done 25 Bible classes on the first five verses of James. That's 5 hours per verse. That's not too bad. So I'm leaving you with this thought today, that as we have come here today primarily to salute those who have served in our armed forces, those who've gone into harm's way, those who've given the last full measure, those who have been injured and have purple hearts. Colonel Howard had 8 purple hearts. That means you've been injured 8 times in the process of doing your duty. Some have won medals of honor. He was, as I understand it, in talking to Randy Ziegler, who's a pastor down in Alabama, who knows Colonel Howard very well, that you have to be, I'm sorry I don't know the military terminology here, But you have to be, let's say, recommended for a Medal of Honor. You have to submit the reasons why you think a person has gone above and beyond the call of duty to such a degree that the nation's highest award could be bestowed upon them. He was suggested for 3 Medals of Honor. Well, you can only be presented with one of them. Once you win one, you can't get any more. But he is the only person in our nation's military history to be put forward for 3 of them. They were each downgraded because being awarded that particular medal is quite difficult to do. And he was downgraded to a Distinguished Service Cross and silver medals and so on. But finally, it came to the attention of the powers that be, and interestingly, Richard Nixon, that he should be the recipient of this. Of course, it's Congress that decides this, but it's the president that awards it. And so he was awarded the Medal of Honor in 1972. That means that he is a good representative of our armed forces, for no one has received more medals, at least in the Vietnam conflict, than he. We are fighting a war, too. We're fighting an invisible war. Now, the Lord has medals, in essence, that he wants to award to us. We call them the Nikes. The Nikes are found in chapters 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation. We've studied the Nikes in a lot of detail. There are 7 categories, but 13 awards. We've broken that down. And what that means is that the evaluation tribunal of Christ, when you appear there, as you must at the rapture, you will be evaluated. You will be brought forward. You will be inspected. And a dossier will be presented that will outline what you are able to do with your power to learn the Word of God and then apply it. You had the indwelling and filling ministries of the Holy Spirit. You had a Bible. You had Bible teaching. You had the mentality to learn, retain, and apply. And so when the Lord says, okay, bring forward the stats on this guy, does he get a Nike or not? And of course, it'll be very encouraging, I guess, if you have encouragement. I assume you do. I can't imagine being anything but just absolutely full-fledged happy to be there. But there's going to be presentations of these Nike awards at the evaluation tribunal. That will be determined about decisions made in time. So remember that as you move out today, remember those who have served the country. Take seriously your duty to learn the Word of God, to do it in such a way that it becomes a path of least resistance, and then seek to start pulling that doctrinal trigger as you confront the circumstances that we all must confront in our daily lives. And when you do that, you'll be making progress as a witness for the prosecution. You'll be working your way toward the high ground of spiritual maturity. You'll be advancing toward unalloyed happiness, and you'll be making good points with the Lord for the evaluation tribunal. We're all in this together. We're the ones. We are the pivot members in this country who are serious about the Word of God. Jesus Christ controls history on behalf of the pivot. The pivot makes up those serious students of the Word of God who make the advance, or serious that it is the Word of God, and therefore are absolutely determined to acquire that knowledge and to consistently apply it in their daily lives. May we be motivated toward that prospect as we move out into the devil's world today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather here and to take note of those who have served this country, preserving it as a client nation against hostile aggressors. We thank you for those who have served. We thank you for those who have given the last full measure. We thank you for the fact that we are a free people in a client nation, preserved by your grace to continue forward. It is our prayer that as we move out today, we would be reminded of those who have served our country, but above and beyond that, grateful to you and our Lord Jesus Christ for preserving us as witnesses for the prosecution in this client nation. May we then therefore do our duty. We lift our prayer of gratitude in the name of Christ, our Savior. Charis human kai arene, plethun thae in epinosai, tu theu kai iesu, tu kuru hemon. And now may grace and prosperity be multiplied unto you by means of your knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen.